To the book of Hebrews chapter 11. That's where we're going to be at this evening. Book of Hebrews chapter 11. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. And it's good to have you that came back tonight. That thrills my heart to see you come back on Sunday evenings and worship. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, what I'm going to title this message as, it's going to be kind of a different kind of title. It's Don't Forget New Jerusalem is what the title is. Don't forget New Jerusalem. Most often, when you really get to thinking, most generally what you hear more about earthly Jerusalem than you do New Jerusalem. I mean, just look at it and see. I mean, even amongst churches and amongst God's people, we talk more about oftentimes earthly Jerusalem than we do heavenly Jerusalem, or New Jerusalem. So that's what's going to be our focus tonight. We're going to focus on this tonight. And focus on New Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem. And that's what's going to be the topic. I'm going to give you several points. We're going to look, first of all, at Abraham's city. I'm just going to give you what my outline is going to be. We're going to look at Abraham's city. Are y'all good back there, Jay? Okay. We're going to look at Abraham's city. And that's going to be here in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll talk about Mount Zion. We sung that song, Marching to Zion, tonight, didn't we? And we're going to talk about Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Mount Zion, the city of the living God. That will be the second point that we look at. Third point is going to be citizenship. And that's in the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 20. Our citizenship is where at? Above. Our citizenship is above. We'll look at that. Number four, we'll look at the mother city. We have a mother city. Does everybody in the house realize that? You know where our mother city's at? And we'll talk a little bit about that in Galatians chapter 4. And then I'm going to give an order of events again. I did this last time. I dealt a little bit with prophecy. I'm going to give you an order of events of things when I had to close out the message, just so you can get these things in your mind. Does that sound good? So let's go ahead and get into the message. The message is entitled, Don't Forget New Jerusalem. That should be one of the main topics we like to talk about, and one of the main places that we look forward to going one of these days. One of these days, either by death or by rapture, I'm going to New Jerusalem. That's my home. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Now, here in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham was looking for a city, it says in the text. And we want to notice where that city's at and what that city was. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, notice what it says, and let's begin at the verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. Now remember, he lived in the Ur of the Chaldees. That was his city. And God appeared to him and told him to leave. Take his wife. Leave your father. Leave your house. Leave your family. He was talking about not his immediate family, which was at that time just him and his wife, but he was to leave the rest of his family because that land was filled with idol worshipers. And God was separating him from them. And he said, go to the place that I will show you. Now, you ladies, just imagine your husband's doing that. He would get up one morning and say, go ahead, get everything ready. We're moving. And you say, where are we moving to? He'd say, I don't know. The Lord's going to show us where to go. Now, can you imagine doing that? That's what he did. He had his house there. That's where he lived at. That's where his family's at. And God told him to get up and leave. And he said, you go to a place that I'm going to show you. That's what he did. So he told Sarah, get ready. We're leaving. I figure she asked where we're going. But he wouldn't have known. He just said, God's going to show me where he wants me to go. And of course, he eventually would end up in the land of Canaan. And that would be promised to him and his descendants. That's what it was going to be. Okay. That's what verse 8 is speaking of. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. And a tabernacle is a tent, living in a tent, with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs of him of the same promise. Now, look at verse 10 now. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Now, what city is that? That's no earthly city. That's not talking about any earthly city whatsoever. Every city on earth has been made by some man, hasn't it? Every city on earth is being constructed by some man. But Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. You see the difference? So, and this city is New Jerusalem. And we're going to see that on as we get down into this text, to Hebrews chapter 11. And the reason why we're looking at Abraham's city, because that was the city that he was looking for. That was the city while he was here on earth, Brother Coy, that he looked forward to going to at the end of his days. And you know what? I'm looking for the same city. And I'm going to the same city. You need to remember one of the things that the Lord Jesus taught when he was here, that many would come from the east and the west and the north and the south and sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All God's people said. So that's future. That's ahead of us. But Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And what I'm trying to tell you, that wasn't no earthly city. That's the heavenly city that he's referring to. That's why it says God's the builder and the maker of it, not a man. Okay? Now let's go on up in the text and let's look now at verse 13. These all died in faith. And when you die, you want to die in faith, don't you? There's a lot of people who die in this old world. The majority of people who die in this world will die not in faith. They've not trusted Jesus. So you want to die in faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them, Brother Coy, afar off. And we're persuaded of them. That's what faith is. I've never seen heaven, folks. I've never seen the heavenly city. I know what it looks like by the description given in Revelations, but I'm convinced that it's there, and I'm convinced that I'm going there. And I'm convinced that it's just a matter of time before I'm going to be there. And I don't know how anybody can be happy that don't have that good hope of knowing that at the end of their days, they're going to this city. So these died in faith. It says, not having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Now notice what it says, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. You know what a stranger is? It's a foreigner. It's a foreigner. It's somebody from another country. Sometimes people come from another country, and you know, someone from another country dresses different, acts different, and talks different. Don't they? Their talk's different, and their actions are different. Well, we're from another country. You know where our home's at? Where is our home? Our home is heaven. And we're going to see just a little bit. That's where our citizenship is actually at. That's where my king's at. That's where my city's at. My name's written there. And right now, I'm away from home. See, I'm a stranger here. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through here. I'm not going to be here real long, no matter how you slice it. And eventually I'm going to come to the end of my days here, and then I'm going to go to my home. Isn't that wonderful to think that way? So, Brother Coy, I'm a stranger. My home's heaven. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. You know, a pilgrim, someone's on a journey. And my journey's going to end one day, and when that day comes, I want to be in New Jerusalem. The problem is God's people don't see themselves as pilgrims and strangers. They sit up roots here and think they're going to live here forever. Your life here is just like a vapor that's here for a moment, and then it's gone, the Bible says. The eternity is going to be spent in New Jerusalem. Sometimes I'll sit and think about New Jerusalem, don't you? Sometimes I'll think about that heavenly city. And it just makes me happy. And just a matter of time before we be there. So we're pilgrims and strangers here. Let's look on down in the text. Now we're looking at Abraham's city. Where was Abraham's city at? It's above. And it makes it crystal clear in the text. Abraham realized that he was a pilgrim and stranger here. Abraham looked for a city, verse 10, whose builder and maker was God. Are we doing the same thing? We're the same way, aren't we? We're just like him. Notice verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly, verse 14, that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly. whereof God is not ashamed to call, be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a what? What's verse 16 say? He hath prepared for them a city. What's the name of that city, folks? New Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem. Another name for Jerusalem was it's called Zion, wasn't it? The song that we sung tonight, the hymn writer knew exactly what I was teaching on. We're marching to Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. That's our city. That's our city. When Jesus went to Calvary and he said that I'm going to prepare a place for you, that city was already there. But in order for me to go there, he had to pay my sin debt. That's the reason why he said, I go to prepare a place for you. The next day he went to Calvary and he made the way for us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. So Abraham's city's above. God hath prepared for him a city. And that's the city that Abraham looked forward to going to. Zion. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 now. It's a heavenly city. Everybody see where Abraham's city was at? That's all I want you to see right now. That's the city he was looking forward to going to. Everybody see it? Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, and it talks more about this city. And here it uses the term Zion. And it says in Hebrews chapter 12, notice what it says in verse 22. Hebrews 12 and 22. But ye are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Everybody see that? Now, you don't hear a whole lot about that Jerusalem, do you? Now, you have to be honest. Everybody, even God's people, are all wrapped up about the one over in the Middle East today. They talk very little about New Jerusalem. They talk very little about heavenly Jerusalem. They talk very little about the true Zion. They really do. And that bothers me. It should bother you, too. Well, that's the main city. That's Abraham's city that he was looking forward to going to. And that's our city. We're come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's what it says in verse 14, Hebrews 13 and verse 14. This goes with it. I want you to look real hard at verse 14 before I read it. Notice what it says. Here, where's here at? That's on this earth. We have no continuing city. Think about that just for a moment. The word continuing means lasting. In other words, there's no city on this earth that's going to last. Every city on this earth one day is going to be destroyed. Every city on this earth is one day going to be destroyed. Do you believe that? That says here we have no. It doesn't say there's one continuing city. It says here we have no continuing city. We have no lasting city here. What else does it say in verse 14? But we seek one to come. That's New Jerusalem. That's New Jerusalem. Here we don't have no continuing city. You mean Bancroft's not going to last for? No, Bancroft will go up in the fire one day. Charleston will too. You pick any city on this earth, it will. But that also includes earthly Jerusalem too. Here we have no continuing city. Earthly Jerusalem will be destroyed when God destroys the world by fire. It will be. Here we have no continuing city. But we seek one which is to come. And that's which city? It's Abraham's city. It's New Jerusalem. The heavenly city. The one that the Lord built. And not who? And not man. That's our city. That's where our king's at. There's a roll book there. It's got my name on it. It's where the roll's at. We sang the roll. It's called up yonder. It means your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. See what I mean? That's our city. We're going to it. But it's above. That's a city we should be singing about and praising God for. That's the holy city. That's the holy city. Folks, the Holy Land isn't where Jesus was. The Holy Land's where Jesus is at. You say it one more time. Holy Land ain't where Jesus was. The Holy Land's where Jesus is at. New Jerusalem. Isn't that the Holy Land? Now, why would you call it the Holy Land? Well, Jesus is there. That's no sin there. No sorrow there. No sickness there. What would you call a place where God is at? And boy, of course, God is everywhere, but manifests His presence there. His throne's there. What else would you call it but the Holy Land? That's where the Holy Land's at. It's not where He was. I remember years ago, Hollis, you might remember this. We was at that's when I was a teenager. It was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, wasn't it? But they was going to send, I never understood this at the time, but now I do. They was going to send Hafford Overby to the Holy Land. Was you there for that conference? You remember this? Just act like you do if you don't remember. But anyhow, they was going to send Hafford Overby. Hafford Overby was Ed Overby's daddy. And they wanted to send him the Holy Land. And they was going to pay the expense, Baptist Faith, and they were going to send him there. And I remember he got up at the pulpit, knew how he was. He got up at the pulpit and he says, "Now, I appreciate this fine offer of you, but as for the Holy Land, I plan on entering that one day. But right now, you just take that money and use it for missions." Isn't that good? He recognized that the Holy Land's above. The Holy Land's where Jesus is at, and not where Jesus used to be. I'd like to visit there. Wouldn't think a thing of the world going there and looking around, seeing where Jesus walked out on earth. That's not what I'm saying. But you got to get the Holy Land straight where it's at. And you got to talk more about New Jerusalem than you do earthly Jerusalem. Okay? So, Mount Zion is a city of God. In Revelation chapter 21. Now let's turn there and look at some other examples. Revelation chapter 21. So on earth we have no continuing city. Do you agree with that? The Bible says it. But we're seeking one, and that's New Jerusalem. All the rest of these cities is going to be destroyed, except for that city. That city will never be destroyed. Matter of fact, that city one of these days, Wayland, one of these days, that city is going to be coming down and set up on a new earth. Of course, when you're talking about the city, you're also talking about the people. And we'll talk about a little bit about that later. Revelation chapter 21, let's turn there. Don't forget New Jerusalem. That's our city. That's the city whose builder and maker was God. That's the city Abraham was looking forward to. That's the city that lasts forever. That's it. Revelation chapter 21, notice what it says. Verse 1, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." How did it pass away? He's going to destroy it by fire. He just didn't destroy it once. He destroyed it by water. The second time he's going to destroy it by fire. So this has done happened. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride." New Jerusalem is also pictured as a bride. It's people. It's people and a place. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Stop just a moment. Now, you remember in the Old Testament, God instructed Moses how to build a tabernacle? Do y'all remember it? Remember he had the tabernacle there, the laver, and the holy place, and the holy of holies? You know what God designed that off of, don't you? It was designed after heaven. And the purpose of the tabernacle is just a little small-scale model of what heaven, God's throne. Holy of holies pictured God's throne room. It was a veil there. And what they did is the purpose of the tabernacle in the Old Testament was to show the way to God. And it showed salvation by the blood every time they offered an animal sacrifice. That's what was a picture of it was until Jesus come and fulfilled it all. But the tabernacle, the earthly sanctuary, was designed after heaven. God told him exactly how to build it. And they were to build it exactly that way. And in throughout the Old Testament, through the use of pictures and types, he showed salvation by the blood throughout the Old Testament. Okay? So it used the term tabernacle. Let's go ahead and look on. "Behold, the tabernacle of God's with men. He will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There won't be no crying there. None, no weeping. God shall wipe away all tears. Now see, this tells us about New Jerusalem coming down. It's what I want you to see here. Where's it at now? It's in the third heaven. But one of these days it's going to come down. We'll go through space. It's going to come down. And it's going to be set up on the new earth. And he's going to wipe away tears. Be no more tears. No more crying. I mean, and why is it? Because there's no sorrow. There's no sadness. There's no death. Like the song says, all will be peace forevermore. This is in our future. We should be talking about this. We get so earthbound that we can't see what's coming. And these are glorious things. These things are faithful. And these things are true. Look in Revelation chapter 21. Now look verse 10. I'm sorry, let me read verse 4. I didn't read all of it. I started yakking and didn't read the whole verse. Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. It says that in the Old Testament too. Isaiah 60 says he would wipe tears from off everyone's faces. There will be no more death. Don't you look forward to that? When New Jerusalem comes down and is set up on the new earth, there won't be a graveyard here. There won't be a funeral home or a hospital or nothing. Won't need them. Because nobody will ever die. And no one will ever get sick. And no one will ever be sad. Well, you Christians are really missing out. What are we missing out on? This is my future. If you've trusted Jesus, it's your future. And it's why we gather the worship every Sunday, Wednesday, and Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and Sunday school. It's why we gather the worship, because of what he's done for us. This is just a matter of time before we get there. It's a matter of time. Revelation 21 verse 10 says, and I never did finish 4, did I? No more death. I can't get through it. No more death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Hate to see God's people in pain. Physically and mentally. Hate to see it. Won't be no pain there. None. For the former things are passed away. Passed away with the old earth. Okay? All right, now look at verse 10. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So, that's our city. Turn to Revelation 21 and look down, still in 21, look down at verse 22. This is all new Jerusalem. Where's it at again, folks? It's above. It's above. John, through the Spirit's describing it to you, how it is. I can go back to the Old Testament and show you the old prophets saw the same thing. In the book of Isaiah, record the same kind of language. God revealed it. It's God's people's home. I ain't home. I'm not home. I'm a pilgrim and stranger, so are you. My home's in heaven. New Jerusalem. Revelations now. And chapter 21, notice verse 22. I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. I'm going to leave that lay. If I get off on the temple, you know I'm going to be dangerous. But Jesus is the temple. People's all wanting to build a temple over there in the Middle East somewhere. It wouldn't be God's house even if they built it. Baptists do the same thing. Jesus fulfilled the sacrifice system when he died on Calvary. Jesus is the temple. That whole system pictured what Jesus would do, and Jesus fulfilled it. Everybody see that right there? So he said, there's not going to be no temple there. Right? Jesus is the temple. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Won't be no sun. The sun will be destroyed eventually too. But the light of this new, this new town on this new earth will be the Lamb. when the Lamb will be the light. Book of Isaiah chapter 60 tells you the exact same thing. That there won't be no temple, but the Lamb will be the light of it. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. Well, you ever heard that song, No More Night? No more night. There won't be no night. It'll always be day. And they shall bring the glory of the honor of the nations into it. And there shall be no wise enter anything that defiles, neither worketh abomination and maketh a lie, but those which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's the only people that's going to be there. Lost will be judged for their sin and be in Gehenna, be in the lake of fire. God's people will be ruling and reigning with Jesus. That's our city. New Jerusalem. That's John described it for you there. We should get fired up about that. We should pray more about that and talk more about that. Philippians chapter 3. Stick with me tonight, folks. I got a lot to say. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20. For our conversation. Now, the word conversation, if you want to underline that in your Bible, and you can look that up in a Greek concordance or if you want to, or a dictionary. The word conversation here means citizenship. That's what it means, I promise you. For our citizenship is in heaven. See, I'm a citizen of the United States, but I'm also a citizen of heaven. I even got my name written there as proof. But that's where my citizenship's at. That's my nation. That's where my king's at, like we've already said. It's where my name's written at. And one day, I'm going to go there, see. Can't wait to see. I just can't imagine seeing it. Can you? I mean, I like to sit down and think about it sometime, but I just can't imagine seeing it. How wonderful it must be. How great it must be. I can imagine our people there and how happy they must be and that they're there and what they see. And I mean, there ain't no sorrow there, but I can guarantee you one thing. If they could, they'd feel sorry for us, wouldn't they? Because they're so much better off than we are. And that's something to think about. How wonderful of a place it must be. So it says, our citizenship's in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, who shall change our vile body. This is a vow body that be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to working thereof. So our citizenship is above. Our citizenship is above. Again, you see how I keep pointing you above? Our citizenship is there. Our king is there. Our name's written there. That's where heavenly Jerusalem is at. And that's where Abraham's city was at. All this fits together. I just think we ought to talk about it more. I think we need to sing about it more, and I think we need to praise God for it more. Because we don't even think about it. Look back over the week. How much did you think about New Jerusalem this week? How much did you think about your heavenly city this week? Man, that's a reason to praise it. Now, turn to the book of Galatians 4, and this is a text that I can't go into real deep. But Galatians 4 is quite a text. Where's your mother's city at? Well, you know, since the topic is New Jerusalem, where is your mother city? Well, your mother city is New Jerusalem. And I'm going to show you that. Notice Galatians 4. And here in Galatians 4, it's going to say that earthly Jerusalem is in bondage with her children. And it's going to say heavenly Jerusalem is free, which is the mother of us all. The mother city. You see, I've been born again. John 3:3 talks about the new birth. I've been born from above. My new birth came from heaven. That's the mother city. That's the mother city. Now, let me show you that. Galatians 4 and verse 26. And we'll start there because the other one, if I get off on that, I'll lose you. Verse 26. Jerusalem, which is above, is free. I'm sorry, I'm going to read verse 25. For this is Agar, is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which is now and is in bondage with her children. Now it says that Jerusalem, which now is, and it's still true down to today, is in bondage, spiritual bondage, with her children. Unless they trust Jesus, and then they're redeemed from their bondage. Isn't that true? But the Jerusalem which now is, that's earthly Jerusalem over in the Middle East, is in bondage with her children. And that's still true today. By far, very few Christians amongst that nation even today. So they're in bondage and they're with her children. Okay. Now look at verse 26. Now it draws a contrast. But the Jerusalem which is above is what? Free. Which is the mother of us all. The mother of who? All the saved. All the redeemed. See? We've been set free from the bondage of our sin. And that's our mother city. So it says that earthly Jerusalem's in bondage, whereas the new Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, is free. And that's our mother city. That's our home. We're born from there. The new birth issued forth from there, did it not? We're born from above. We're born from above. Okay? So that's our mother city. So this message, I'm not done yet. I'm going to give you a wrap up. This message was entitled, Don't Forget New Jerusalem. You see why? It's a great place. It's just talking about heaven. That's our home. No sickness, sadness, sorrow. That's Abraham's city. When we sing the song, we're marching to Zion, or on Jordan's stormy banks I stand, and all those old hymns, we're talking again about New Jerusalem. Our citizenship is where? It's above. It's in heaven. Where's the mother city? Where is the mother? It's above. See, I keep pointing you up, because everybody's forgetting to point up and they're pointing over. It's up. It's up. And we're forgetting about New Jerusalem. I'm going to give you the order of events again of how things are going to take place. And what I think. It's okay if you disagree with that. I don't fight over what they call eschatology. I don't fool with that. If you want to accept it, you can. Or quarrel over it, you can. I don't. I just know Jesus is coming. I'm ready. That's what you need to come. But I'm going to give you what I think the order of events are, how things is going to happen. I want to give it to you to conclude this message, okay? Now, I thought I laid down a pretty strong argument for remembering New Jerusalem. Don't forget New Jerusalem. That was the message. But here's how I think the order of events is going to be. I think we're in this time frame right here. This time frame right here is called the last days. Are we in the last days? I don't have to prove it to you. Yes, we are. The Bible said that in the last days he spoke to us through his son. So we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. And the only reason that the Lord hadn't come yet, do y'all know why? He's still saving his people. When that last sheep's brought into the fold, then that's going to be it. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's long-suffering. That's what 2 Peter 3 is, because don't you think he wants to bring it to a close? I mean, think about it. Don't you think he'd want to? I mean, with all the sin and the blasphemy against his name, don't you think he wants to bring it to a close? But he don't. He holds back all this. He's getting ready for the day of wrath's coming. He's holding it back because he's still got people he's saving. Still saving his sheep. Still bringing them in. But there'll come a day when that last one's brought in. And he'll look over at his darling son and he'll say, go get your people out. Go get your people out. See, before, I like this word wrath as opposed to using the term tribulation, because that's a confusing word. And I'm not going to get off on the subject. But the wrath is the best word, I think, to use, because I'm not going to get off either. I'm just going to say wrath's the best word. Just take my word for it. But anyhow, I think wrath's the best time. He'll take us out pre-wrath. Before he drops his wrath down upon this earth, he'll get his people out first. We all know that, right? Now, Luke 17, I want to show you this real fast. And stay with me. I'm just going to give you an overview. Luke 17. Now, when Jesus taught about the second coming, he took us back to the Old Testament. And he took us back to Lot and destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Y'all know about that. He also took us back to the days of Noah. Because, you see, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah by fire, didn't he? And he's already destroyed the world one time by water. All the fossils you see was created by the flood. There's all kinds of evidence, but the greatest evidence is God's Word. All kinds of evidences of a flood. So Jesus uses that as an example. Are you with me? Let me show you this again. Verse 26. For as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying wives, and they were given in marriage. Now that means it was just like another day. These are normal activities. Until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came, and what else does it say? It said he destroyed them all. Is that not what it says? So that's why God did it when he destroyed the world the first time. When he's done destroyed it once, but he destroyed it by water. It wasn't just water from above, but it was water that came up from beneath and above. And he completely destroyed it. So what he did, he put his remnant that he saved in the ark. And then everybody was outside the ark's door was destroyed in the flood. He destroyed them all. There was an opportunity the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That means he preached and builded. And he would warn people what was coming, but they never listened to him. And then there came a day when God said, Noah, get in. Get in. You take your family and you get in. And the Bible says that God did what to the door of the ark? He shut it. And once God shut it, I want you to understand that that was it. All right, now let's look at the next example. Then he used the illustration of Lot. That came later in the book of Genesis. Likewise, it was in the days of Lot. They ate and they drank and they bought and they sold and they planted and they built. See, that's normal things. Just like another day. It's like another day. But that same day that Lot went out of Sodom and it rained fire and brimstone from heaven. And what else does it say there? Destroy them all, doesn't it? There wasn't a remnant left. They wasn't given a second chance, not a second opportunity or anything of that nature. Once Lot was safe, he destroyed them all. Did everybody see that? So what Jesus is doing is he's teaching you about how it's going to be when he destroys it. Verse 30. Even thus, that's in the same manner, likewise shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. He's going to do it the same way he's done it before. He's going to take out his people right here at the rapture. And then that's the time of his wrath. And I think he'll destroy them all. Just like he did when he destroyed Sodom. Just like he did when he destroyed the old world. Be the same way. I don't think there's a second chance after Jesus comes. A lot of people teach that, but I think that goes completely against what I just read you. Time to get saved is here. Matthew 24 says when the Lord comes, that all the kindreds of the earth mourn because of him. Why are they mourning for? The door of salvation is swung close, is why. I mean, that ark door, once it was shut, it didn't open back up. What I'm trying to say is this is the day of salvation right here where we're at right now. This is the now. Now is the accepted time, the Lord said. Today's the day of salvation. It's eternally too late after Jesus comes. Then will come the day of wrath. After the rapture will then come the time of wrath. And that's when he'll destroy the world. Now when he takes us out the rapture, where are we going? Huh? New Jerusalem. We're marching to Zion then. He'll take us out. He'll take us out. He'll take us. We'll be up here in New Jerusalem. Now, after this time of wrath, he'll come back. After this world. Now, when you think about the world being destroyed by fire, you think of him wiping out the whole globe. I don't think he's going to wipe out the whole globe. Has he done destroyed it once already? He destroyed the surface of the planet with the water. Tore things up, but he He did it that way. I think hell's in the earth anyhow. I think the Bible indicates hell's in the earth. So he's not going to wipe out the globe. But the fire will destroy the surface of the earth. And everybody that's here. And then Jesus will then come down on a new earth. After the time of wrath. And you know who's coming with him? All these people. That's what you've seen in Revelation 21. He's coming down. New Jerusalem's coming down. Coming down. Coming to space. And he sets up his kingdom on a new earth. These things are faithful and true. And that's when the millennium happens. And I think what the millennium is for is when the saved are judged for the rewards. In Revelation chapter 20, when it talks about the millennium, it says judgment was given unto them. And he's talking about the saved in the text. We have to give a reckoning for our lives. And he will. It's not to determine your salvation. That's been determined. That's why you're there. But you'll give an accounting for your service to Jesus. Everybody here tonight saved should be serving the Lord. And you're accountable to the Lord for that. So I think that's when that is. I think it comes after the time of wrath. And I think that's when the millennium is. And after the millennium, after we receive our judgment, then I think that's when the second resurrection is. And the second resurrection is the resurrection of the lost. There's two resurrections. There's a resurrection. Whenever the rapture takes place, there's a resurrection of the just. But there's also coming a resurrection of the unjust. And I think that takes place after the millennium. I think that's to... Just to give you an idea of an overlook of the events, I think that's the way things go. Might I be wrong? Probably not. No, could be. And there's people put it in different places. The main thing, though, is this, is you be ready to go out here. You got me? You can change it around all you want to, but the main thing is you got to be ready to go out here. So let's not forget what? New Jerusalem. Let's not forget it. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention.